All right, precious hearts, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the 13th chapter of Romans tonight. And let's just go ahead and begin reading the first seven verses. And that's Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We'll speak about that, so don't get too concerned yet. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now praise God. The Holy Ghost, through Paul here, is continuing to encourage us to let the love of Christ, the love of Christ. This is really what this is. This doesn't just go to some rule thing here. And I pray that we never see it that way. Because, see, you can have a zeal, but as the Word of God says, but Lord, let it be according to knowledge, to understand the Word of God. But this is an encouragement again to let the love of Christ reign in us in all things. Not just picking and choosing what's convenient or what we like to allow him to work in our lives, but truly to submit to the Lord in all things. And as we begin here tonight, this is truly the testimony of Christ in us. Christ liveth in us. Hallelujah. We have to understand and really believe and realize what grace we have been given in having the life of Christ live in us. Brothers and sisters, it is so wonderful that Jesus Christ is alive and living in our lives. We are now the Son of God. As the Word of God says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. And I thank God for that. But see, just as Jesus in his time upon this earth, his life wasn't about trying to overthrow Agrippa or Herod or Caesar Augustus or Tiberius or Pilate. Did you know that? He didn't pass out pamphlets, we got to get rid of these guys. Did you know the Apostle Paul? In his ministry, he was under probably one of the most wicked and evil and despicable men of all time, Nero. And you know, there's nothing really even mentioned at all, because matter of fact, can you imagine, he trusted God. Now, brothers and sisters, at that time, it was a very corrupt government. It was horrible. It was a time of great oppression. It was a time of very anti-Christian. But brothers and sisters, let us take encouragement from the Word of God and what it's saying here. And again, as those that so love the truth, our life is not about trying to get things straightened out on this earth. It's not. That is not our calling. That's not any Christian's calling. The Word of God will do that in due time. Praise the Lord. Read about it in Revelation. Read about how, praise God, the word, that sword comes out of his mouth, and bang, how it's taken care of. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Praise the Lord. I thank God how these things are coming to pass. But it is so sad because so many Christians think their mission on this earth is all of these agendas and all of these things to, well, we have to get these ones in office and we have to get this back in schools and we have to do these things. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate the thought that we want to encourage people to pray and encourage people to know the truth. But brothers and sisters, you have to know the Word of God. The Word of God tells us it's not that we're giving up, we're believing the Word of God. And it says that the evil of man is going to wax worse and worse. This is not the time of the revival. That's why so many people are disappointed. Thanks be to God for the grace of God that, yes, people are getting saved. And thank God that people are getting saved. But thank God that people are growing up. There's a few, truly, that are growing up in the truth because they're hearing the word of his grace. And that's what this time is about. And we're grateful to God that this grace has encouraged us some. I said it like this, and I thank the Lord. I remember taking that trip to Italy and how it really hit me at that time. I heard some people fussing as we would go through about their president and who's going to be our new president. We need a new... Well, you know what? I wasn't from Italy. I really didn't care who their president was going to be. It didn't really affect me. Well, let me ask you something. Where is our citizenship? Where is our citizenship? Our citizenship right now is in heaven. I don't care what it says on your driver's license. I don't care what it says on your passport. The Word of God tells you you're an alien here. And God help you to not get wrapped up in it. I love to see people trust the Lord. I love to see our leaders trust the Lord. But brothers and sisters, that's not what this thing's about. It just isn't. We have to understand, we are not from here. So as the Lord encourages us in Matthew 22:21, he says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. Okay? Unto God the things that are God's. So we know this, and but what he's really getting at here in this 13th chapter is why this is important to our lives. Why it is important to respect those that are in authority. Because they are God's appointed. Praise the Lord. Doesn't necessarily mean they're God's anointed. I want you to understand this. But they are God's appointed. And we need to look to that. The Word of God tells us in Daniel 2:21 in Psalm 75:7, and I'll just say it like this, I put up whom I will, and I put down whom I will. That means in every single place. Let me tell you something. The Word of God, you have a promise. He said, I will perfect that which concerns you. I appreciate my mom. I remember going to school and some of the teachers that I had. I mean, there were some that were so sweet and gracious and some that loved the Lord. And then there were some I knew that absolutely hated me for pretty much not a cause. But she said, honey, that God put them there to train you, to exercise you, to have you to trust him. And I see it even more so sweetly as the Lord continues to reveal his faithfulness to us. Brothers and sisters, as it started out tonight, there be no powers but of him, from him. It says there in Proverbs 16:4, I have appointed the wicked for the day of evil. Doesn't that make you feel wonderful? I heard such ones mock God and say, oh, well, why would God appoint an evil one to bring forth his word? What do you think he raised up Pharaoh for? To magnify me. Well, how could he raise up Pharaoh to magnify him? He allowed that man, because that man did it. He went after it. You want to be ornery? I'll tell you. I'll show you how ornery you can be. I'll show you how wicked you can be. I'll show you how you'll curse God. I'll show you how you'll try to defeat my people. I'll tell you and show you how stiff-necked you'll be. And in each case, I'm going to show how mighty I am. Isn't that amazing? See, he didn't raise up a guy that just after one plague he was going to give up. Oh, no. This was a real stiff-necked idiot. I'm going to go not two plagues, not four, not five, not seven. I'm going to go 10. And you're even going to have to take my son. And even though they finally thought he called uncle, he sure didn't, did he? Because he came back to destroy him. And that didn't catch God by surprise either. Because that whole army came down there and they were trapped. And just like those people that saw all of those miracles and they saw all of those wonders of God and they saw that mighty hand. And I cry because that's us. That's our unbelief. And all they could say to Moses as they saw that army coming down upon them, have you just brought us out here to die, to be killed by the sword of Pharaoh? And there came the pillar of fire. And it just sat there. And they weren't dummy. They were just defiant. Let me tell you something. You'd think, my goodness. Now, wait a second. You saw 10 plagues. Now you're trying to go kill them. And now you got a big old pillar of fire here. You still don't get it? And then you see them go across that sea. You'd think like one of, hey, Fred, I don't think we need to go that way. Barney, I think Pharaoh's lost his head. But no. God allowed them to go after a hate. And let me tell you something, you want to hate, God will allow you to hate. Like you can't believe. And they went on after them, and it killed everyone. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? That's how mighty our Lord is. See, he has it under control. Believe it or not, he's got this. But how different it is in the thinking and in the minds of most Christian circles today. We're going to bring in speakers. We're going to have this cause. We're going to get behind this politician, or we're going to defeat this politician or this agenda. And all God wants every single Christian to do is to trust him. And live the very purpose of God on this earth that he has given to every Christian. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That is your calling. God help us, because we don't want to hear, we want to feel. And let's just be honest. We want to feel. We want to feel that we're doing something. We want to feel that we belong. Let me tell you something. I live by faith that I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. I live by faith that, praise God, I am now a son of God. I live by faith that my citizenship is in heaven. Amen. And that takes care of it. Just like I said, I didn't care who their president was. Because I'm not from here. I guess you're upset. I'm sorry. But I'm not from here. I'm going home. Huh? Do we get it? We're not from here. We're going home. All right. Now that doesn't sit well with a lot of folks. But you know what? Sorry, I'm not going to get behind that, because that will cause me to slumber, that we're going to read about later on. That will cause my eyes to be dim to the things of God. That will cause my eyes to be looking at the things of this life. He will appear a second time to them that are looking for him. Him. Huh? I find myself looking up more and more. Praise God. All right. So that's where we're at. But I do want to make clear about something here. Yes, we do obey the laws of the land. And it is wonderful, just as we obey our parents as unto the Lord. But when rulers try to force us to not believe or pray or preach the gospel of Christ, may we be like Peter and John. Turn right over to Acts 4. I'm sure many of you were thinking that we were probably maybe going to read this. But may we be like Peter and John. And when they were approached and told not to preach the word of God by the rulers. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter, this is Acts 4 verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Isn't that precious? And they took knowledge of them. And why did they? That they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them." Still going down, isn't it? Let us threaten them. See all the threats coming at us? And it's the threatening time. "That they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Isn't that something? It's the name. It's the name. That's why I'm telling you, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. When you pray, pray in Jesus' name. Jesus. Praise God. And like I said, put it in there 3 or 4 times. Be encouraged. Be bold in it. Don't let them think you're backing down. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." See, you could teach anything else you want. You can go to work. You can have any other book on there. But you've got a Bible, man. You got that Jesus thing. We're going to have a problem. Can't you get it, people? You see what I'm saying? I'm not talking to us, but I'm talking about, but they can't see it, can they? Because neutral, you can't be. You're either going to be drawn to me, or you're going to hate me. And they can't help it. They're incensed. "And Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And if you go over to the 29th verse of the 5th chapter, just across the page, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now this again, though, I want to really emphasize this. Now man has went and just running away in their imagination of what they think obeying God is. Obeying God is submitting to authority. You understand that? Please get it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But our respecting and honoring those in authority, it's not unto man. Understand this. This isn't unto man. This is unto God. We are actually submitting to the will of God. We're giving honor to Him by receiving the faith, by grace receiving faith, to have unwavering confidence in His word. Even when it doesn't look right, even when you know that they're not doing right, even when you know that you're being oppressed in a sense in some other aspects of your life. Now I'm not talking about in a sense of the word of God, but I'm talking about, you know, as you hear all the time, "Oh, they're taking away my freedom, they're taking away this, they're taking away that. You know, I can't hunt, I can't catch all the fish I want, you know, I'm starting to get a little quirky." But those are the things and types of stuff that, you know, we can get just all bent out of shape about. And it makes me sad when people get all bent out of shape about these things. It makes me sad when people get all bent out of shape about their leaders, whether they're for them or against them. They can be just obnoxious on either side when you're about a man. Amen. Come on now. We understand this. It's not like, well, I chose this side, I'm right. No, 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 no. Are we about the word of God, brothers and sisters? Those in authority, we have to understand this. Those in authority are all being utilized for one purpose, and that truly is to accelerate the coming of the Lord. Praise God. It's wonderful. It's awesome. When you see it in the truth, it's an exciting time. But see, if we think that our calling is to confront the government agencies, whether it's the IRS or, as these nuts do, get a pack of whatever it is and go blow things up, that's not it. You're resisting what God has allowed to be set up. You're not going to accomplish anything in those types of things. And it says there, and you will receive, what's it say there? And what verse is that? Verse 2. You'll receive to yourself damnation. Now what that means, it means judgment by authorities. You'll receive judgment by authorities. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Red flag. You're going to get yourself in trouble. You're not suffering for Christ's sake. You're suffering for stupid's sake. And that's the truth. And you just have to call it what it is. And we can laugh and chuckle at this, but there's some sweet, precious people. I'm talking about children of the King that get caught up in emotion and feeling, that get themselves in things that just waste your life. God help us to pray one for another. But see, it's not going to be healed because unless it's the Word of God. The Word of God heals you. The Word of God heals you. Hallelujah. So the Word encourages us not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. And the Word of God tells us to begin living over yonder. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Where our citizenship is. As it says in Proverbs 21:1, the hearts of the kings are in his hands. Praise God. Rest in that. Rest in that. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I know who's for me. I know not just who's backing me. I know who's in front of me and behind me and whose hand covers me. And I thank God for these things. So we trust him. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We need to be in the Word and encouraged. Now this portion also has reference to those in authority over us in the Lord. Our teachers, brothers and sisters, our pastors. Now we're talking about God's anointed, not just appointed, but anointed. Pastors, teachers, the Word of God tells us to honor them as unto the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 11 through 13 goes through that in great detail, and it's very sweet. But pray for them. Pray for your ones that God has put over you to give out the Word of God. You may not always agree with things, and I know people don't always agree with some of the things that, and I do trust God that he would have me to do, but I ask you to pray. Think of sweet David, the man after God's very own heart. There was Saul. Let me tell you something. Saul was an ornery fella. He was just so hateful of that dear brother who did him good after good after good, and that jealousy and that rage because he didn't want to see David be elevated. He didn't want to see David. He saw the people loving David. It just incensed him in hatred and things of that nature because he wasn't going to trust God about things. But there David had his chance to take his head. And there he was even encouraged with David's friends were encouraged. Just take his head. He's laying right there in that cave. Chop it off. Stop this snake. But what did David say? I will not lift my hand against God's anointed. Huh? Boy, we can be like a lot of incensed wolves sometimes, can't we? Again, when we don't look to the Word of God. We have seen things like this in our walk with the Lord and in different meetings, in this meeting and all. And, you know, God help us. And here's the help. It's coming real soon. It's love. But we are not there yet. So we've got a couple more verses to talk about here to get us even a little bit more squeamish and say, oh, Lord, I need to pray. But see, we need to start trusting God that, you know, he'll do it. And what a victory it is in our lives to trust God. Isn't it wonderful to watch the hand of God do it, to let him take care of it, and to where he places ones in the body? You know what? Let's let him do it. Amen. Just like Brother Paul, as he would always say, he was an apostle appointed and given that and encouraged by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It wasn't by man. It wasn't given of man to him. It wasn't by a seminary. It wasn't by a committee. It wasn't by because everybody thought so well of him or because he was taller than everybody else. That's about what all that equates to. That's how stupid it is. It's because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is who we trust and this is who we put our confidence in. Now, verse 5 encourages us in all of this, kind of wraps it up. And see, this isn't only to, we don't submit to authorities and things of that nature to just escape the wrath or punishment from bucking up against what God has established. There's even something more important here. It's for conscience' sake, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to have the peace of God. Amen? It's wonderful to have a mind, praise the Lord, which is the mind of Christ. It's wonderful to have complete rest. It's wonderful in every situation. And I'm talking about the situations of the stormy seas. Amen? But where everything's rocking and rolling and all the, you know, the ships coming apart and all those things. And where was Jesus? He was in the belly of the ship asleep. I think instead of going to wake him up, let's just go get down in there and go to sleep and trust and rest that it's well. Amen? He's got it. And this is where we're at. No matter, brothers and sisters, who's our president. Gotcha. Come on now. I'm glad you can giggle. See, again, let's get off of that and get over it. And just be thanking God that we know that he's in control. It's wonderful. And we pray for those in authority. Do you know that? You pray for them. And pray believing God that, you know what? God, this is who you've appointed. And we pray. Doesn't matter what party it is. That party ain't going to get it done. That party's just going to accelerate it like that party's going to accelerate it. Pray. Praise God. All right. Verse 8. Let's go on. It says there, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. Now, this is very precious because we see here that the only thing that we owe one another, in a sense, is to love one another. Always and more in a way, what this is kind of encouraging us is the only debt that there really is love. And I love that because that just encourages us to love the more and the much the more and grow in this love. And what a reward it is when we love with the incredible increasing love of Jesus Christ. And what fulfillment it is to keep on loving the much the more, no matter how much we have loved. Praise God. And that's what this is such a love match and be encouraged in the love. And we'll go on with this in verse 9. It continues on. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, so we'll just throw them all in there, if it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Praise God. How love so sweetly fulfills all of it for us and in us. Now, let's talk about where this love comes from, what this love is, so that there's no confusion here. First of all, we know that God is love. There be no love but of God, but he is love. And in John 3:16, it's so encouraging, it says, for God so loved the world. So there's where it met man. Hallelujah. God so loved the world, and he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Isn't that wonderful? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those who would believe in Jesus Christ, and we've already quoted that verse already in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Hallelujah. So we know it's the life of Christ that lives in the believer. Hallelujah. It is Christ's life. We are now a son of God. We are born of God. We are a child of the King. We read this on Sunday over here in 1 John 3:9. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's you, that's me, that's everyone, every child of God, everyone that is in Christ. So we have been imputed, brothers and sisters, the very life of Jesus Christ. That's who we have living in us. And if we yield by God's grace to him, to that life, the reservoir of grace pours through us to perform the good work, and we will and do of his good pleasure. And can you imagine, I love with his love. And praise be to God as we read verse 9. Yes, even though it's fulfilled because of the love of God to us, even though, as it says in 1 John 3:9, we cannot commit sin. So all of that in verse 9 has already been performed. But hallelujah, as we yield to God, it's fulfilled in a sense in the evidence of our walk because of the love of Christ alive and working in me. That's also known as the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? See, it's already done. Whosoever is born of God cannot sin. That's all done. That's all done. But now, praise God, that would be evidenced in my walk. That's love. That's love, and that's the love of God, and that's the grace of God. And then we can say in verse 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Hallelujah. See, you can't try to work at it because it doesn't work. You love, and love happens. I don't know how to say it. It just flows, it pours out, it takes care of it. And we thank God how, again, he does it all. Now verses 11 through 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake. Oh, it's high time. Isn't that wonderful? You talk about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus time. It's high time. High time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So think again. This is Brother Paul encouraging. And he's part of this. It's time for us to awake. Our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's coming sooner than you think. And even though you're expecting it, praise God, it's coming sooner. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And I love that armor of light. A sister was encouraging me that in a little letter today. But know this of the armor of light. It means armor means preparing a thing, and the light means the power of understanding. So truly what this is it's preparing a vessel for the power of understanding. That's the armor of light. That's why in all thy getting, get that understanding, get that knowledge, get that wisdom of how much the love of Christ loves you. To know the love of Christ, that's the understanding. Get it. Be prepared in it. Hallelujah. That's how we stand against all this stuff. That's when our vision is, it said about Abraham as we've been rejoicing. He wasn't caught up in the things of this life. He was seeking that continuing city. That's why David finally prayed, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. That's why Paul praised God. Oh, I glory in that man. Praise the Lord. That's the mark. Praise his name. So let us therefore, in the 13th verse, walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, and in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on. And I love what that means. It means sink into. But sink into the Lord Jesus. Huh? Praise God. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is such a precious portion of Scripture here, brothers and sisters. And so many butcher this up. And again, it's not flesh and blood. It's just the enemy trying to get us to want to fulfill the lusts of our flesh. But they take this glorious passage of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and they try to make it some self-righteous thing, something that we're going to hold out and make it into heaven. And I just think, how sad. This is the call of divine grace. This is the call of the life, praise God, to those that truly are alive, that are watching for His appearing, that are loving His appearing. And I believe it's expressed best if we go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's read there as we'll close this out tonight in this thought. And praise God how this all ties back to it. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is about those of the light, the day, as it says there. See, be ready for that day, the beginning of the Lord's day. See, we're of the day. Now let's read what it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now, think of all those "theys." They shall not, okay? But now Paul changes it right here. "But ye, brethren," ye, the children of God here, "you're not of that darkness. And that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light." Isn't that wonderful? There's no child of God that isn't the children. They're all light because of Him. "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." But listen to what he says. And he puts himself right in there. "Therefore, let us not sleep." See, Paul didn't count it as he had already apprehended. Oh, no. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, if by any means I might attain." Huh? "So therefore let us not sleep as do others." And this was the brother that just we read so sweetly. He said, now wait a second. It's the seed that remaineth. I have everlasting life. I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. So what was he so warning to himself and to others not to miss? Well, it certainly wasn't salvation. Now we're talking the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That day overtake you. Praise the Lord. "But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us," again, see, encouraging to us, brothers and sisters, who are of the day, "be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." Isn't that wonderful? It didn't say rolling up your sleeves and doing all these good works so I can see how much you deserve to go first. Oh, Lord help us, huh? You just see how beautiful this is. Faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And praise God, I'm saved. We know we are saved. What is this hope of salvation? That's getting out of here at the first trump. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful to this. And why do we know this? Because it says right here in the ninth verse, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now stay with me on this. We'll wrap it up and we'll talk about this wrath in just a minute. Now most brothers and sisters, and the Word of God tells us this, because the majority of people in heaven that you see in the companies that are in heaven, the majority is called the innumerable multitude. I think that hits it right on the head in the majority. It's called innumerable. And they are waving palms. They are singing salvation to our God. They are standing before the throne. All right? So we know that the majority of Christianity is not receiving this message. They're not in tune by God's grace to want Paul's gospel, which is if by any means I might attain to that out resurrection. Oh, if I just get to heaven, I'm going to be satisfied. You will be, yes. But there's more than that. There really is, and we know this. Praise God. Not because of who we are, but praise the Lord. It's by His Spirit, and it's right there. But brothers and sisters, most are just living lives to fulfill flesh. Now, stay with me on this one too. And I'm not talking about the fulfilling of flesh in carousing or partying or things like that. But I'm talking about fulfilling flesh with good works. As the Word of God tells about it, the wood, hay, and stubble. As the Word of God shows us, even in the life of Martha at that time, which was so intimate that the Lord wanted them to come into, but there was only one that took it. Martha chose, I just want to serve. I just want to be about getting everything set up and making it nice and helping everybody. And there was a good in that. But then that good got critical real quick, didn't it? Because the good wasn't going to satisfy her. It'll never satisfy you when you know the best. And she looked over there and started to get critical at Mary. You should be about serving. Huh? Have you ever had your brothers and sisters in Christ get after you? Well, I can't believe you've never done a mission. I don't think I've ever been off mission. Matter of fact, I don't need to go nowhere for that. Because I got an appointment every single day. Huh? And that's the truth. But as people would come to you and say, well, you haven't done that. That's just like Martha. And what did Jesus say? And notice who defended her. Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you touch her. Don't you even remotely disturb her. Oh, it just makes the hair stand up all over my arms. She has chosen the better part. She wants me. She doesn't want things. She's not about feeling good and being seen by other brethren and, wow, that one's really working. She wants to know me. She wants to fellowship with me. She wants to wipe my feet with her tears. Oh my. Do you really want the best place, the true worshiper who worships Him in spirit and in truth? Thank Him for that if you do tonight. Because, boy, He sure is pouring that out to us to take. But to sum it up here, brothers and sisters, as it says there in the 9th verse, Paul says, we have not been appointed unto wrath. Do you know that? Now, some will read that and say, well, sure, I know as a Christian, I am not appointed unto hell. That's not what that's talking about at all. See, in rightfully dividing the Word of God, we can answer that real quick, going back to the first chapter and looking at the 10th verse of 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So see, brothers and sisters, we know that we are seated in the heavens in Christ. But this wrath that's being spoken of here, the Lord does not want us to enter into the tribulation. He doesn't want us to go into that time of that suffering. That's really, by the grace of God, as He says, I would have all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And to know the full knowledge of the truth, you would know as Brother Paul knew and would have that beat in your heart. If by any means I might attain unto that resurrection. I press. Oh, I'm reaching. Praise God. And it's all by grace. You're just reaching for more grace. You're not pressing and reaching and, oh, I need more works. You're just getting in more grace. That's what it is. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growing in the knowledge of his love. The power of his love to us. And praise be to God. That's what he has for us. But it says it right there that we are not meant to go into that time of tribulation. Yeah, praise the Lord. But we sure can. Oh, yes, we can. And he tells us the ones that will go into that. The ones that sleep. The ones that are not awake. And I think of it just like this, as I've told people before. Just like hell wasn't originally made for people. Did you know that? Hell was originally made for the fallen angels. But you know what? If you reject Christ Jesus as Savior, you'll go to hell. So the tribulation truly wasn't meant for a Christian to go into. But if you don't want God's best, and that grace that will is the only way you'll have it, if you live into that time, you sure will go into it. Yep. So he tells us here to wake up. Because thanks be to God, we are appointed to one thing. And that is truly to obtain the out resurrection in Philippians 3:16. If by any means I might obtain to that resurrection. See, Paul sought, as we've mentioned it many times tonight, he called it the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And God help us to have the love so fervent like Paul. Jesus, I do want to hold that fast which you have given me, because I want to please you. It's not a crown for me to walk around to say, oh, look at my crown. Oh, no. Lord, this is what you died for me for. This is what you ascended into heaven and have been waiting for me for. This is why you sent the Holy Ghost to encourage and to take the things of you and to minister to me for. And this is why I say, Lord, I do want that name bridegroom written on me. Because it pleases you for all you've done for me. And I know, oh, the benefit it is to me too. I mean, the riches. The exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come and all of those things. It's incredible. But let's just make it simple. Lord, I love you. I want to please you. And I'm so thankful to God. I know that it is impossible to please God without faith. So I can, by the grace of God and by his Spirit, understand, boy, the way to really please God is to believe the whole word of God. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed tonight.